we're back with another one, Transfer Target Special, or reasonably special, as it's part two of two. Using the expertise of La Liga transfer consultant, yes, it really is, Terry Gibson, we'll run the rule over some of the hottest properties and the best bargains, and apparently Neymar, because everybody's obsessed. I wonder what Terry will say about paying 200 million euros for a guy who played the equivalent of 16 league games last season. Well, some of these guys are definitely on the move, some should be, and we apologise if we're trying to sell your best player. Well, we went through some big names the other day. Go back and have a listen to those if you want to find out about the likes of Sarabia, of Joan Jordan, who are bargains, of Gené, who might not be, according to Terry. And let's have a listen now to who's around, who could be on the move, and who might not be on the move. Shall we start, Terry, with Wissam Ben Yedder? He's being linked at the moment, as we speak, with Manchester United, who will be 29 in August. He's got 30 goals in the season just gone, 18 in the league. He got 10 in European competition. He's a French international, but not a regular with them. So then, Ben Yedder, he's a good player. He's not a real top bracket player, is he?
I can feel you're in the same vicinity as me in thinking what's the possibility of the move to Manchester United, or is it the right move for Manchester United? I wouldn't imagine Ben Yedder would be comparable to, say, Mo Salah.
No.
To Kun Aguero, Sergio Aguero at Manchester City. The competitors that Manchester United should be looking to try and get to the level of Man City and Liverpool, where in terms of the league campaign, I know they're a long way away from it, but I don't see the merits in bringing in Ben Yedder to get them any closer to Manchester City and Liverpool in their pursuit to try and become top of the pile again. So I suspect that might just be, we recognise it in the past. We've had it in the past. Sergio Ramos was the big example when he was linked with Manchester United. It didn't do him any harm in terms of what the interest at Real Madrid to give him a better deal, more money, longer contract. Was evident, and we all were suspicious then that was the reason behind Sergio Ramos being linked with Manchester United to get Real Madrid to, and I wouldn't be surprised to see this. This is possibly the work of his agent who's looking around Europe and probably looking at possible clubs that might be feasible that Ben Yedder could move to. Big money, you know, big money clubs with a lot of money that could easily pay the buyout clause just to hopefully at his age try and get an improved deal and a longer contract from Sevilla. So I'm sure there will be clubs interested around Europe, but I wouldn't, in my opinion, I agree totally with you. I think he's a really good player, really good striker, great goal scoring record. He's a great penalty box player. He doesn't bring a lot else to the game around the rest of the pitch, but he is a marksman, and I'm not sure that fits the bill. I think if Manchester United want to close the gap on Manchester City and Liverpool, then they need to be signing genuine superstars, the top of the pile, the players they can attract to the club, the money they can pay, rather than someone like a Wissam Ben Yedder.
So what kind of level is he at? I mean, it seems like he's at Sevilla's level.
Sevilla?
Exactly.
I would have no qualms with if it was Sevilla, Valencia. I know Villarreal, I don't expect them to be where they finished last season. That type of second-tier level in La Liga, and it probably that would be comparable to the second tier of teams in the Premier League. Bearing in mind, in the Premier League, there's probably four, six clubs I would call top-tier. In La Liga, there's probably three, if we're being brutally honest, and we're always hoping there's a fourth. We're grateful there's three. For so long, it's been two. But I think if you looked at the top six in the Premier League, would he improve any of those teams? No. I was thinking, I'm going down the list. I've already said no to Manchester United. I can't imagine that he would improve Arsenal when they've got Aubameyang and Lacazette. Tottenham with Harry Kane, he would be an ideal, perhaps a potential backup to Harry Kane, but that's not where Ben Yedder is at the moment. So you're looking then below the Chelsea. You know, I can't imagine him being a target for Chelsea, irrespective of whether they have a transfer ban or not. So he would probably be looking at the next tier as well. So we've talked about a number of players being linked with West Ham. That sort of tier, Everton, West Ham, I would think, as opposed to a club like Manchester United, who have got a lot of ground to make up on the top two. And I wouldn't put Ben Yedder in that category of fulfilling that role at that particular club at the moment.
Okay, so it is a no next to Ben Yedder's name, but at least for Manchester United. Let's have a look around elsewhere. Let's go with Antoine Griezmann. Now, we've discussed him before, and you said you think he will go to Barcelona. It's just a matter of wait until the beginning of July. So if you are, if we've missed it, because we're putting this out in a couple of days after we've recorded it, so you're pretty sure that no one else is going to get Griezmann, but he's as good as anyone who's available now, isn't he, in this transfer window?
Well, that's from Manchester United. That's the level, isn't it, that we're talking Ben Yedder and Griezmann. I think it's a big difference, and that's the level Manchester United should be aiming at. So he's one of those players that falls into that category of he's going to be chased by the big European clubs. I'm pretty sure it's a done deal with Barcelona, because he committed himself to leaving Atletico, telling them pretty early what was happening. The buyout clause was clearly going to be initiated, and he must have known who he was going to be signing for. The reason there is a delay is because the buyout clause drastically reduces on July the 1st. And we have not seen any other speculation regarding Griezmann and another club. There was a little bit about PSG, but nothing since then, despite the fact Barcelona, astonishingly, actually looked like they might be interested in bringing Neymar back.
Yes. We'll get to him in a second, shall we? So let's just have a quick reflect on Griezmann, first of all. I think, Terry, for all, people are getting a bit tired of him, I think, because he's been around and he hasn't really exploded and got any better. But his work rate, in terms of minutes, we'll get to Neymar again in a minute. He's in the league, 3,196 minutes, second only to Jan Oblak at Atletico. Compare that to Diego Costa, just over 1,000 minutes. He got 21 goals this season. It's his worst season for Atleti. He's been there 5 years, and he's played 257 times for them. I mean, that is one, for an attacking player, that is one consistent player.
Exactly. The point I made in the previous podcast, when you compare that to Neymar, I think that's why I gave the nod to Griezmann for Barcelona. To my preference would be Griezmann as opposed to Neymar, because he's solid. He's got great work ethic. I know he seems to irritate some people. I have no particular reason why, because I think he generally appears to be a pretty good sportsman. He has done some silly things on social media. And it didn't go down well last year when he made the big announcement that he was going to stay at Atletico. So I kind of get that why that would irritate some people. But in terms of his playing style and his the performance levels he's had at Atletico, after a difficult start, first 3 or 4 months, he could have fallen by the wayside. He could have gone like so many of those other strikers we've seen at Atletico. But somehow him and Simeone worked it out, where his best position was, where he should be playing. And he just got better and better. And you say it was his worst goal-scoring performance since being at Atletico, but you could argue it was one of his best seasons as well, because of everything else that he brings to the table, as opposed to just being a striker. So it's going to be interesting. I've been having to think about the Griezmann one, where he could play, irrespective of Neymar arriving. And I kind of prefer him in a central role, centre forward. Now, with Suarez being 32, there's been no mention of him, Griezmann, coming in to replace Suarez. So I just wonder whether that's going to be further down the line in this transfer window, that if Barcelona do go for Neymar and Griezmann, whether Suarez might be the one that might be. Now, that would go against his very, very good friend, Lionel Messi. But I think tough decisions have to be made. But I think Griezmann's best position is playing as a striker. I could see him playing in that centre-forward role at Barcelona with Messi, whether it's Messi, Dembele, either side. I could see that working. But everybody assumes he's going to be playing wide on the left, Messi on the right, Suarez up the middle. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, because they're almost getting into Real Madrid territory of having too many players in similar positions there, aren't they? Because they've still got Dembele. Presumably Malcolm would have to go somewhere for some amount of money.
I forgot about him. Yep, I forgot about him, and his form improved in the second half of the season. I would make a case that his form was probably better than Coutinho's and probably deserved more playing time than he got. So there's another player, Coutinho, that I'm sure we'll talk about. But it's really interesting now to see what's happening at Barcelona. They have been able to move one or two players out, and you know it does help. They weren't in drastic need as Real Madrid, but it's clear they need to improve in Europe. And that's hence the reason why they've brought De Jong in. Does appear Griezmann's going to be the next one in. I can see what Barcelona are trying to do.
Well, let's talk about Neymar then, shall we? While we're on, because we just won't go away, will it? We're desperately trying to get, we're trying to make him go away. I'm risking upsetting Barcelona fans because he might sign for them. In which case, as we all do, when he signs for our club, we suddenly change our view on a player, and you think, actually, no, you know what, he is good. But if he'd signed for Real Madrid, Barca fans would have been saying, hang on, he's a guy who hardly plays any. He's played 58 games in 2 seasons, I think. For PSG. It's not a lot of football, is it? Yeah.
It isn't.
39 minutes. You know, it's not a lot of football.
I've been thinking about this, and this is a player that's still officially suing Barcelona for a lack of a loyalty bonus payment that he was due. And I think his dad is part of that legal case as well, because he felt he was owed money by Barcelona. I have read
yeah, because he hasn't got enough out of his son's career.
Exactly. I have read, and it'll be another transfer as well, I have read that his wages are going to be drastically reduced, which he's agreed to come back to Barcelona, and that part of the deal is that he has agreed to drop the legal case as well. So it makes it even more astonishing that Barcelona are willing to even entertain the idea of signing him. So talks have been arranged, have happened. He's clearly realised he made a mistake, which I wasn't alone. I said it was the wrong choice when he made it 2 years ago. And I think he's realised that. But PSG, the stumbling block is going to be that PSG want more than they paid for him. So they want close to 300 million euros. So yeah. It's all well and good him dropping 8 million euros a year in salary, dropping his legal case, but it's going to cost Barcelona an extra 80 million euros than what they got for him. So somewhere along the line...
It doesn't make sense at this point, does it?
No. And that was my case with Gené, with a Hatafe deal in the last podcast. There has to be a cut-off point where you like a player and you want a player, but salary... agent's commission, the cost of the transfer fee, is still, no matter which club it is, you hope that they do take that into consideration. And yes, it's all well and good him dropping the legal case, dropping wages. He's actually agreed to go back on the wages he was originally on at Barcelona. I think it's something like 24 to 34, 36 or something. He went from 24 at Barcelona to 36 at PSG and he's willing to go back to the 24 million he was on prior to leaving the club. But that's all well and good. But that pales into insignificance if Barcelona are going to have to fork out an extra 80 million euros on him than what they got. Plus, we have to remember, no one ever knew the fee in the first place. Do you remember when he signed, it went up 20 million every 6 months? There was an add-on and there was payments to Santos, payments to this agent. I don't think we ever got to the bottom. I don't think we ever got to the bottom of what he originally cost Barcelona. So I'd love to see it happen. I'd love to see Neymar back in La Liga. I'd love to see him back at Barcelona again. I think it'd bring great interest to the league. It would enhance La Liga. That's for no doubt. When I was saying I would rather go with Griezmann over Neymar, I had my reasons, but I still think he's a terrific player. He's great to watch. It's great viewing. He's great entertainment. Things are never the same with Neymar. And, you know, if he was to come back to La Liga, I'd actually be pleased, to be honest. So it's a difficult one for Barcelona. I think it's something they would like to do. But I'm pretty sure that PSG are not going to be able to get the 300 million they want. Then that brings another problem for them with an unhappy Neymar on their hands. So this is going to play out right throughout the summer.
Well, there were other reports that PSG had offered him to Manchester United in some kind of Pogba swap deal. Now, swap deals rarely work. They don't often come off in reality. But it does suggest that they're keen to get some money for Neymar, which doesn't imply that, it doesn't say to me that Barca should pay a lot of money for him. I think you should pay, if they want him, they should pay less than, you know, I mean, a failure is probably too harsh to say at PSG, but it hasn't worked out how he wanted. He hasn't ripped up and become, you know, you tell me, Terry, you're the expert. How good is he? You know, because you've got Messi, you've got Ronaldo, right? And then I would say you've got a huge gap to anybody else. And then I'll put Neymar in the pack of the other terrifically good world-class players.
Yep, I agree totally. 100%. You talked about swap deals. Is there a possibility that Dembele and Coutinho could be used in a part payment? I would see both of those players being attractive to PSG. I think the idea of them going to PSG as well would probably appeal to both players. Dembele, of course, to go play back in France and to link up with Mbappe. I guess Coutinho, and I'm not even going to bother saying with all due respect, but a PSG team that dominate and win the league might help his confidence, might help him to recover his best form in a league which they dominate. I think there's the inclination is from PSG is to not to cash in. I don't think they would have looked to have sold Neymar unless he was playing up, unless he was the one that made the decision. Now they have. They've got every right to ask for 300. They might get 200. It might be 150. It might be 100 plus Dembele or 100 plus Dembele, Coutinho. So it's a tactical manoeuvre in terms of negotiating, I think, from PSG. But I think it's clear Neymar's going to leave. Because I can only imagine that the aggro he's going to cause PSG if he doesn't get his way.
Yeah, but you're almost into this category of unsellable players. Unsellable can mean two things. It can be a very good thing, that he's like Messi's unsellable, or it could be that someone's on so much money that you just can't shift him. The unshiftable player. So shall we move on to the other potentially unshiftable player, which is Gareth Bale. So if you're Manchester United, are you interested? Who could buy Gareth Bale? United got the money. They need a big. You know, their fans are desperate. You know, God love Wan-Bissaka, terrific young fullback. He's not the Galactico, is he? That they were hoping to sign. You know, I'm sure he'll work out to be, you know, he's a great player and all, terrific young player. Who's going to get Bale? Would you buy Bale? Who's going to get that eye-watering salary and take it off Real Madrid's hands?
But I think the Gareth Bale fee was mentioned. They were looking for around 80 million on top of the huge salary that he's on. Now, I'm looking at other players that are moving between clubs, and I still think a Gareth Bale that's in form, I know he's 29 now, isn't he? A Gareth Bale that's in form is still a massive asset and a massive value to any club. Now, of course, there's only a few clubs that have got the money to pay. The 80 million, I think, that sounded crazy 2 or 3 months ago is beginning now to not sound too bad when I'm hearing of players going for 40 and 50 million who are nowhere near and are never going to be near the level of Gareth Bale. So it's, if you're Manchester United and you're looking at and you're thinking, how are we going to close this gap? A fit and in form and with confidence, Gareth Bale makes Manchester United better. And I've no doubt. Now, is he in the frame of mind to face up to that challenge? To leave Real Madrid, or is he going to be thinking, well, let's see how this plays out. I'm on massive money, but he's too young just to sit back. He's not going to play for Real Madrid again under Zidane. His only hope will be if he does an Isco with Santi Solari. And Isco probably thought at the time, I'll bide my time because I think I might be here longer than Solari, and it worked out that way. It's a huge gamble. Now, I think Manchester United could do a lot worse. I know they've had the issue with Alexis Sanchez, but it's up to a coach, even with Alexis Sanchez, with Solskjaer, and he's only been in charge for a short time. The coaches have to get players playing better because Alexis Sanchez, we've seen him in the past, how good he can be. So there is a reason. There's often reasons why players lose form, lose confidence. The team, put the tactics of the team don't particularly suit them. Then they lose confidence. And it's up to the coaches to get them better. But I think, personally, I think a Gareth Bale makes the majority of teams better and would clearly make Manchester United better. So, as I say, if 4 weeks, 6 weeks ago, I was thinking it was out of the question for anybody to do it. But if Real Madrid were to accept, if they want 80 and they accepted 60, then you're not telling me, even with the big salary that Gareth Bale is on, there's not a bit of room for manoeuvre there. So I thought it was a total non-starter that he wouldn't be able to go anywhere. I'm beginning to think that might not be the case after all.
Yeah, because Manchester United is such a big name, such a big, I hate the word, brand, that they, in a sense, more financial speak, they could leverage Gareth Bale's name. Sometimes, when you're that level of club, you've got fans all around the world, you've got all the big sponsors in the world, bringing a Galactico name in is worth more to you. You can sell, not just, I mean, people always say selling shirts, it's more than just selling shirts, but that, you know, big clubs need big names, don't they? It's not just a question of looking around for bargains and getting in Jean Jordan or Genet or someone who you think, oh, he might improve the team. But it's not that. They also need big names, don't they, to make the most of their worldwide market and their worldwide audience.
Yeah, and that's why it would work out far cheaper for Man United to spend 80 million on Gareth Bale than, say, the team I support, Spurs, where I would hope to see him come back to. Manchester United would make a lot more on the Gareth Bale arriving at Manchester United with their worldwide fan base. Tottenham have, but not to the level of Manchester United, of course. So there is room, you know, that's how they, as you say, leveraged signing a genuine superstar. And I know his form last season wasn't good. The club didn't show any faith in him. It was difficult circumstances, conditions for him to play in a stadium where the supporters were booing and jeering. He was a scapegoat for a disastrous season for Real Madrid. He was an easy target in the end. And there were loads of other players last season that were poor for Real Madrid. There were some that were worse than Gareth Bale. But for some reason, he was the easy target. And I get irritated, I really do, with the fact that the Spanish media, which we know is pretty much Madrid-based, and also the fans of Real Madrid, when they turn on a player that has done, you know, remarkably well for Real Madrid. Big goals in big finals, in a genuine Galactico, one of the top four or five players in the world during his spell at Real Madrid. To see them turn, it's almost a little bit of a warning sign to big players that go to Real Madrid that, you know, this is going to probably happen at some stage if I don't pull up trees every week. So it would be clearly be best for Gareth Bale to move on. The finances, of course, are going to be the stumbling block.
Let's take a little break and we'll come back and see if we can sell a left back and a goalkeeper. Welcome back. It would seem that everyone we're discussing has been linked with Manchester United. I wonder what it is about fluttering your eyelids at Manchester United that gets you in the newspapers, yeah. and then it's quite handy in the contract talks that follow. Jan Oblak, Terry, has been linked, funnily enough, with a move to Manchester United. So he's Atletico Madrid's goalkeeper. He's played 37 league games for the last two seasons. He's just won his fourth Zamora, so the best goalkeeper in Spain. Award. He's got 3 years left on his contract, doesn't he? 2023. Is there a better goalkeeper around than Jan Oblak? Is he really leaving, or is this just about getting more money?
I can't believe. I'm really surprised at this speculation with Oblak, and it has died down now somewhat. I'd be amazed because of the fact they're losing an entire back four. Yeah. Is there a better goalkeeper in the world? No, there might be. There's one or two or three that are comparable, but certainly no one that's clearly better than Oblak. So Atletico Madrid don't need the money. They're releasing some players. They're leaving the club on big wages, big salaries. Griezmann's going to bring big money in. They've done well financially over the last few years. So I can't see any reason why, even in this day and age, if Ob Black is manoeuvring for a transfer away, that they can't tell him that it's a non-starter this summer because of the players that have left the club. They're building a new defence and they need, you know, I could be the one of the best goalkeepers in the world. So I was surprised when I saw that link, and I would be even more surprised if he was to actually leave Atletico.
Is there an issue with him going to the Premier League one day that he's not massive? And secondly, we haven't really seen him play with the ball at his feet, have we? Because it's not a big thing for Atletico. So I don't know if he's even a Pep goalkeeper, if he's in that mould. He's just a very, very good normal goalkeeper, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's massive. I think he's, I'm 5'4", so I think he's huge. you're right, we haven't seen him with the ball at his feet. There are still a lot of managers, rightly so, who believe that the best asset of a goalkeeper is he can keep the ball out of the back of the net, can yep. come and collect crosses and communicate and organise a back four ahead of him. First and foremost, that has to be the criteria for one of the best goalkeepers in the world. If you're, you know, a good stroke outfield player, that's in the case of Ter Stegen, for example, who's actually two-footed, and other goalkeepers we see that can play like that as well, then you know, that is a bonus. But I personally wouldn't want a goalkeeper who's just good with his feet and can't keep the ball out of the back of the net. So I have no doubt that if Atletico ever, and they shouldn't ever consider letting him leave, every big club around the world would want Oblak in as their goalkeeper. I think he is that good. As you said, we've never seen him play with the ball out the back, play it into the feet of Godin, play it into midfield. That's no Atletico play, so we can't really judge him on that. I can't say he's poor. I can't remember any serious errors where his kicking has let him down. It's just that's not Atletico style.
Right, let's talk about Junior Firpo, shall we? For yet another one linked to Manchester United. I mean, it's incredible, isn't it, how they are linked with everybody. So tell us about Junior Firpo then. He is currently, as we speak, he's playing in the under-21s for Spain. Not necessarily as first choice, is he? Promoted from the Betis B team. I was slightly surprised, Terry. He's only played 38 La Liga games. So he's quite a young player. He's quite an inexperienced player still.
He is, but I think, in my opinion, I could see 38 games is more than enough to see that a young player has got talent. You just look at the attributes he's got. And yes, he has made mistakes. He will make mistakes because he's young and inexperienced, but the raw material is there. I still think, and I've said it before, that I think he's going to be tall enough, and I think he's best position is going to be as a left-sided central defender. At the moment, he's a young player that's playing left-back or left-sided wing-back for Betis, and I think he's the real deal. And again, it's another example. I thought his buyout clause was going to be prohibitive and the fact that it would stop clubs coming in and buying him because of that, but I'm seeing other players going for similar amounts of money. I think his buyout clause is something like 40 million again, isn't it? Euros leave Betis, something in that region. I thought it was going to be miles too much for anyone to do now, but I don't. And I think if you were Manchester United, who clearly Solskjaer has to look at it and think, there's a lot of talent in Manchester United's team at one end of the pitch, at the attacking end of the pitch. It's getting the best out of them. They've not all been in great form, but I think the glaring, obvious position of the squad, the team that they need to strengthen, is the back four. So Junior Firpo falls into that category of a really good, could be exciting attacking fullback or a really good left-sided central defender. And they're few and far between. Top quality left-sided central defenders. They're a bonus if you can get one. And he's age, loads of improvement to come. If Wan-Bissaka is going for that money, I don't see any reason why Junior Firpo shouldn't.
Right, let's talk about a deal that has been done, which is Cillessen going to Valencia. That part's done. And as we speak, we're waiting for confirmation of Neto going the other way, but that is all the chat. So, I can see, for me, it makes more sense. Part of that deal makes more sense than the other part, which is Cillessen's had a couple of years sitting on the bench at Barcelona. He's too good a goalkeeper, you know, giant club and all of that, can't sit on the bench forever, and you've got to go and play first team football. He's 30. I don't get the other way. I don't get why Neto wants to go back, having had 2 years on the bench at Juve and winning the title a couple of years, playing for Valencia. I think I like him. I think he's been a good goalkeeper. They're in the Champions League. Why would he want to go back and sit on a bench?
Because I think he would have been sitting on the bench with Valencia anyway. I think Marcelino, if you read the stories, he'd made up his mind before the season ended. He wanted a new goalkeeper. He didn't, for some reason, didn't particularly fancy Neto. And he thought, and this, the managers, the decisions managers have to make. Where can I make this team better? And he clearly felt that he could get a better goalkeeper than Neto. So Neto probably would have been on the bench if Cillessen had come anyway. And also, I think there's always that little temptation there for someone like Cillessen, who went to Barcelona for a couple of years, someone like Neto that could go to Barcelona for a couple of years. They're still young enough to, as Cillessen is showing, to go off and have a career after. But the temptation is to go there for a two-year period and take your chance that maybe Ter Stegen might lose form. Maybe there'll be an injury or two. And you might get the opportunity to then have a prolonged spell as the number one goalkeeper for Barcelona. So I kind of get it, to be honest. I kind of get why you would take that gamble for you. A Cillessen has done, and Neto might do, in the fact you might be the goalkeeper that's playing in Champions League football for Barcelona, playing in La Liga, playing in the Clásicos. So, but I think there's a two-year time gap on it, isn't there? I think if you're Neto and he's 28, 29... couple of years, he can continue his career after that. You won't be doing it until he's 35, 36. But I think Cillessen has shown, that's probably a two-year period where you feel that you might get, a chance for one reason or another to be the number one goalkeeper for Barcelona. So when it doesn't work out, I think it's the right move to make. Cillessen's made the right choice. I think Valencia will get a really good goalkeeper. And maybe Neto thinks that, it's the challenge for him now is to go and be back up to Ter Stegen and train hard, work hard, play in the Copa del Rey and maybe get, a chance in La Liga or the Champions League.
Right, let's do one more, which is it's a slightly weird one. It might never happen, of course. Marco Asensio. Now, how good is he? Is he one of the ones that Real Madrid have got to move on? The left field angle is that he could go to Athletic Club de Bilbao because his dad is a Basque. Even though he didn't live in the Basque country all of his life, but he was born there and he lived there some of his life. Is that he ain't going to Athletic Bilbao? No,
he's not going to Athletic Bilbao. It's an interesting one with Hazard coming in. The three I bunched together: Asensio, Isco and Hazard. And I'm now reading that Manchester City have suddenly, in the press in Spain, have nipped him for Isco, are considering Isco because of they see him possibly as the long-term replacement with David Silva. So I kind of get that. Isco has never really played that position for Real Madrid on a regular basis. So I kind of get why Manchester City would be looking. Oh, Isco might be available this summer. We've got David Silva for another season. And if we don't sign him now, we might miss out on possibly the best replacement they could get to replace David Silva. So it might be something that happens now. If that happens now, then I would imagine Asensio stays. But the version we're seeing of Asensio this season hasn't matched up to the expectations that we all had. I mean, there's nothing better than seeing a young player burst into the team at one of the giant clubs in the world, scoring in every final that he played in, scoring in lots of big games for Real Madrid. And I think it wasn't unfair to think possibly he was going to be one of the best players in the world. Now, his form has taken a massive dip, a real big dip, and he's not scoring goals. He's not played on a regular basis. He hasn't progressed. I'm really hoping it's just a one season, which it sometimes happens with young players. So I think he's got a lot to prove. And to do that, he needs to be playing every week. Now, is he going to get that at Real Madrid? Or are we going to have a similar season this year because he's going to be behind Jovic, Benzema, Hazard, Vinicius, Lucas Vasquez, I'm sure, will still get 25 games appearances in the league. We've got Rodrigo who's come in as well for Real Madrid, who's another young Brazilian. So it's a big decision for Asensio, almost similar to the one that Marco Llorente was helped made by Zidane. In thinking, right, enough's enough. I'm at an age now where I need to be playing more than I was last season. I need to be playing consistent. I need to be playing better than I did and playing more regular and make that move. So we've seen him in the past when he was on loan at Espanyol. You could see that the potential that he had. And in his early spell at Real Madrid, clearly the potential was there. We thought he was going to be a super talented player. So he needs a big season this year. Is he going to be at Real Madrid? Is he going to be elsewhere? With what's going on at Real Madrid, with the amount of players they've accumulated, there aren't too many that are 100% safe at the moment.
So let's just do Isco as well. Would you sign him if you were City?
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
I think he knows that position. As I say, he's not been allowed to play it on too many occasions at Real Madrid. It is his best position. And I could see why. And there's always been that link with Manchester City as well. So it's been rumoured in the past that they're interested. But I think he's been reluctant, quite rightly, to move away from Real Madrid. But there comes a time where you think, Isco, the age I am, I want to be playing every week. I want to be proving I'm one of the best players in the world rather than, in fairness, he's only ever been a bit part player at Real Madrid. And I hate to say that, but he's always been fortunate enough that there's always been someone injured that's allowed him to rack up appearances. But if everybody was fit, he would not have been in the starting 11, the strongest starting 11, according to the managers at Real Madrid, for probably about four seasons now. But he racks up the appearances due to the fact that players have been injured. Gareth Bale would be the main contributor to the fact that he's been injured so much, and it's allowed his scope to play in Champions League finals, such like. I think it's time for Isco to show everybody just how good he is. I think he's a fantastic player. I know there's arguments that he slows the game down, he takes too many touches at times, but I think that's what you get when you have a player that's not just prepared to play the easy pass. You know, he wants to beat people, he wants to find that defence splitting pass. He hasn't been able to do it at Real Madrid because he's been playing on the wing or he's been playing in midfield three. So I think in that position that Silva plays and the role he has at Manchester City, I think Isco would flourish in that position.
Right. Good call. Isco to Manchester City. We're selling everybody, Terry. We're going to get our cut and we're going to be rich.
I'm just counting the euros, John.
Yes. On that note, Terry's vast
wealth. We've got some left.
He's off on holiday. we'll be back. Once Terry's back, we'll be back with more live ones and update the transfer situation. But we have recorded something in the meanwhile, just so you don't forget about us. Don't forget about us while Terry's away in the summer. So, Terry, enjoy your holidays.
And thank you
very much for listening, everybody. We'll be back in touch with more podcasts again pretty soon. Bye-bye.